bum, in the sense of migratory worker. He's a freelance chicken throttler style of thing. He turned to the wolf and spoke in canine. Now then, bum, this human is insane, and believe me, I know a mad human when I see one. He's frothing at the mouth inside, and he'll rip your hide off and nail it to a tree if you aren't straight with us. Understand? What was that you're telling him? Said Carrot. Just explaining we're friends, said Gaspode. To the cowering wolf he barked, Okay, he's probably going to do that anyway, but I can talk to him, so your only chance is to tell us everything. No, nothing, the wolf whined. She was with a big he-wolf from Uberwald, from the clan that smells like this. Gaspode sniffed. He's a long way from home, then. He's a bad news wolf. Tell it there'll be roast chicken for its trouble, said Carrot. Gaspode sighed. It was a hard life being an interpreter. All right, he growled. I'll persuade him to untie you. It'll take some doing, mark you. If he offers you a chicken, don't take it, because it'll be poisoned. Humans, eh? Carrot watched the wolf flee. Odd, he said. You'd have thought it'd be hungry, wouldn't you? Gaspode looked up from the roast chicken. Wolves, eh? He said indistinctly. That night, when they heard the wolves howling in the distant mountains, Gaspode picked up one solitary, lonely howl behind them. The towers followed them up into the mountains, although, Vimes noticed, there were some differences in construction. Down on the plains they were more or less just a high wooden gantry with a shed at the bottom, but here, although the design was the same, it was clearly temporary. Next to it, men were at work on a heavy stone base, fortifications, he realised, which meant that he really was beyond the law. Of course, technically, he'd been beyond his law since leaving Ankh Morpork, but law was where you could make it stick, and these days a city watch badge could at least earn respect, if not actual cooperation, everywhere on the plains. Up here, it was just an ugly brooch. Slake turned out to be a stone-walled coaching inn and not much else. It had, Vimes noticed, very heavy shutters on the windows. It also had what he thought was a strange iron griddle over the fireplace, until he recognised it for what it was, a sort of portcullis that could block off the chimney. This place expected to withstand the occasional siege that might include enemies who could fly. It was sleeting when they went out to the coaches. "Storm's closing in," said Inigo. "We'll have to hurry." "Why?" said Sybil. "The pass will probably be closed for several days, your ladyship. If we wait, we may even miss the coronation. And there may be slight bandit activity."
"Slight bandit activity?" said Vimes.
"Yes, sir."
"You mean they wake up and decide to go back to bed? Or they just steal enough for a cup of coffee?"
"Very droll, sir. They do notoriously take hostages."
"Bandits don't frighten me," said Sybil.
"If I may," Inigo began.
"Mr. Skimmer," said Lady Sybil, drawing herself up to her full width, "I did, in fact, just tell you what we are going to do. See to it, please. There are servants in the consulate, aren't there?"
"There is one, I believe."
"Then we shall happily make shift as best we can, won't we, Sam?"
"Certainly, dear."
It was seriously snowing by the time they left, in great feather lumps, which fell with a faint damp hiss, muffling all other sound. Vimes wouldn't have known that they'd reached the pass if the coaches hadn't stopped.
"The coach with your men on it should go in front," said Inigo, as they stood in the snow beside the steaming horses. "We should follow close behind. I'll ride with our driver, just in case."
"So that if we're attacked by anyone, you can give them a potted summary of the political situation," said Vimes. "No, you will ride inside with Lady Sybil, and I'll ride on the box. Got to protect the civilians, eh?"
"Your Grace, I..."
"But your suggestion is much appreciated," Vimes went on. "You get inside, Mr. Skimmer."
The man opened his mouth. Vimes raised an eyebrow. "Very well, Your Grace, but it is extremely..."
"Good man."
"I should like my leather case down from the roof, though."
"Certainly. A bit of fact-finding will take your mind off things."
Vimes walked forward to the other carriage, poked his head inside and said, "We're going to be ambushed, lads."
"That's interesting," said Detritus.
He grunted slightly as he wound the windlass of his crossbow.
"Oh," said Cheery. "I don't think they'll try and kill us."